Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
Well, here we go. The Growing in Grace podcast. I'm Joel Brieseke, a man of not many words, along with Mike Kapler, who just before we got on wanted to share a word with me, but it ended up being many words about an adjustable desk. You know, I like the, you know, I've seen these adjustable desks where, you know, it rises up and then it lowers down to just where you want it. You can sit while you're working or you can stand while you're working. And I think that's a good thing. I've seen those things in action. At a place where I worked a few years ago, the owner of the place, now he wanted to be fit and healthy, and he had in front of his desk, the first time I met him, he was standing on a treadmill that was in front of his desk, and so he was working standing up, and I don't think that was quite as effective as a desk that will rise up and lower, but
I would have trouble with that. I'd probably end up with my back against the wall.
He'd be working on something and then, whee, you could fly backwards. You ever, I love those videos where someone's like walking on a treadmill and they just flip backwards and flip upside down and slam into the wall. I'm that kind of a guy. Like, those things are funny.
Yeah, you're kind of dark that way.
Yeah. You know, we could have used a few fewer words to talk about all that, but we're talking about the word and what in James, when he said be doers of the word, you know, that's a common phrase you'll hear, be doers of the word, whether it's in the legalistic church or even within the grace community, be doers of the word. And many people have many, many, many different thoughts on what that phrase means, be doers of the word. But I think the problem is that people just zero in on that phrase without looking at the context. And what we're doing here in this little short little series of podcasts is just providing some context and looking into what, you know, what James used that word several times. And we kind of last week, Cap, you went back and gave a little bit of a background on the Ten Commandments, what we know as the Ten Commandments, and how in Hebrew the word that was translated as into English as commandments is a word that actually means word. And like I had talked about how when God wrote the words of the commandments on the tablets, that phrase, the words of the commandments, both the word words and commandments are the same Hebrew word. And so we looked into a little bit of that background. We won't go through it all again, of course. You can go back and listen to last week's podcast. But it's interesting when James starts talking about the word, and be doers of the word, it's very interesting to see all that he says about the word, and everything else that he says in the context of what he's talking about. And we kind of left off last week where James had contrasted the, you know, being saying the anger of man, the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So he's going to talk here about something that he believes is able to save your souls. And he's talking about being a doer of the word. Verse 22 of James 1, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And so we're going to pick up with that this week.
Yeah, you know, even the word in the Greek here, the word, it's translated in a lot of different ways in English, lots of different ways, including Jesus, right? From John,
the word.
Chapter 1,
mm-hmm.
Jesus, the word. So again, something we pointed out last week, I would encourage you to go back and listen to last week's program so you can stay even with us here. I think this idea of language and thinking that we know, you know, exactly what something means, it's not as simple as that. It's as we said last week, it's really not a perfect science. There's actually a lot of guesswork and theories about certain phrases and words and how they're used within the writings of the Bible. And so that's just something to keep in mind here. Because, you know, I mean, we even, like you alluded to a little bit, Joel, even the Bible, you know, the collection of books that we call the Bible, it's often just nicknamed the word, right? Mm-hmm. And we've talked about that before in the past, and I don't necessarily want to go down that trail here. Yeah, let's just stay focused on where we're at here and with some of the things that James said. But you just left off with, and we did last week too, I think, James 1:21. Well, before that, verse 20, for the wrath of man does not produce or achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, so how do you produce the righteousness of God? Do you produce it? There's a question for you. There's a question for you, Joel. Do you produce the righteousness of God, or does he produce it through you? So we know that the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God, according to what James wrote in verse 20. So what does? He goes on to say in the next verse, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word. So stop doing bad stuff. All right. Then you'll see the righteousness of God in your life. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. Lexicons pointed out, as we did last week, that is talking about, potentially talking about, among other things, the teaching that you've received from others. Receive this. It's able to save your souls. What is? This word, this teaching. Receive the implanted word. But what is the word that he's talking about, right? Because later on, James would say, well, faith alone can't save you. So what is he talking about here? James 1:22. And again, you know, the word in the Greek now, it could be anything from a word, which embodies an idea, the expression of a thought, a statement, speech, utterance, even an analogy. And as we mentioned, yes, they really all add up to Jesus. Jesus, the word. It's been around since the beginning. Very mysterious, sort of, right? So James 1:22-25. Be doers of the word, following up on what he just said. Don't be hearers only. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law of liberty and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. There's a lot of doing here, Joel, a lot of doing being said here. And I think a couple of things I'll point out here. Verse 22. Don't be deceiving yourselves by not being a doer. Be a doer and not just a hearer. It's a doer of what? A doer of the word. Well, again, as we said before, is he just talking about the Bible here? I think that's what a lot of people just sort of assume. Yeah, we got to be doers of the word, brother. Slapping each other on the back at church. Got to be doers of the Bible. Obviously, that's not what James was talking about. There was no collection of books put together like what we have today, and we're thankful for them, this thing that we call the Bible. There was no such thing as that. So what did they have back then? As a Jewish person who James is writing to from one of the 12 tribes, as a believer in Christ from that group, if anger doesn't produce the righteousness of God, then what does? Well, James is trying to explain it here from his perspective. Anyone who is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like the one who looks at his face in a mirror, looks at himself, goes away, and forgets what he was like. So we've got an external thing going on here. The one who looks into the perfect law of liberty and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Joel, I want to get this back over to you. But I was one of those people. My hand is in the air. I admit it. I was one of those people who I thought when he said the perfect law of liberty, that word liberty tripped me up a little bit. I thought he was talking about the new covenant of grace. Mm-hmm. But I think we're going to see something different here as we keep reading within the context of what he said and what he will continue to say, especially because the law of liberty, I mean, to me, Joel, it seems that the law of liberty, let's just consider, I'm just going to come out and say it, even though we're going to get to this. Let's consider the possibility James is referencing a law of some type that the Jewish people would already be familiar with. Since James doesn't really explain the law of liberty from a new covenant grace perspective here, how would these people know what it is when he's telling them to do it?
Right.
He's telling them to do something that they're probably already familiar with. So he's referencing some type of law that the Jewish people would know about. I mean, after all, in his own words, James specified it is a law that they could see, hear, and do. How could they do something related to some sort of a new law of grace under a new covenant? How could they do something from that if it were a law in which they were not yet familiar? So, again, keeping in mind that the timeline here with James' letter is believed to be, you know, just about the first one written in the New Testament. So just, you know, putting the pieces of the puzzle together here. So sometimes we believe the things we believe based on a certain narrative,
right,
based on a certain mindset. And then we try to fit the pieces of the puzzle, the Bible verses are the pieces. We try to fit those pieces of the puzzle into our narrative.
Right.
You know, it's like those who do a big puzzle, they do, a lot of times they'll do the outside first, you know, and build the border. We've kind of got a border mindset, and we got to try and figure out how the pieces fit into what we think is already true.
Right.
And so we're challenging ourselves as well as some of our listeners here probably with some of this stuff.
Yeah, and I have my hand up too. I was one of those people that, oh, the law of liberty. Okay, he's talking about grace and liberty. And I think, you know, the problem is that whether it's grace people or whether it's legalists or whatever, we do tend to use that word that James used, implant, our own thoughts and what something in the scriptures should mean when it doesn't even say that at all in the context. There's really no context here at all in James 1 where he's talking about this law of liberty. There's nothing that would tell us that he's speaking about grace, but he's talking about the law of Moses. I mean, it really looks like that's what he's talking about. And I think in his mind at this time, and again, like you just said, and like we talked about last week, this is just perhaps only a decade into the early church. And it was after this that Paul received his revelation about the gospel from Jesus Christ. And there were many Jewish people at this time, as is well documented in the book of Acts and elsewhere, and as we've talked about a lot on this podcast, where there were a lot of Jewish believers who believed that salvation, in order to be saved, is by grace through faith plus keeping the works of the law. We see evidence of James believing that in Acts 15 and in Acts 21 and in Galatians 2, where certain men from James caused Peter to fear and to withdraw from the Gentiles. And so it's not a stretch at all for us to be thinking that perhaps James thinks that the law of Moses was a law of liberty, and especially when you take into account everything else that he says about it and about being a doer of the word. I think what is a stretch, again, in hindsight, because like you, I used to see this phrase, the law of liberty, and I thought that he was talking about grace, but I think that is actually a stretch because, again, nowhere else in the context here does it seem that James is talking about grace, but he's talking about receive the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. And later on, which we'll get to this in James 2, he says, what does it profit if a man says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? That's James 2:14, and that's still in the context of everything that he's saying in chapter 1 here. Even though it's many, you know, maybe a good dozen or 20 verses later, it's still in the same context as what he's talking about here. And so I think in James' mind, he thought of the law of Moses as a law of liberty because he thinks, again, judging by what he said, the righteous or the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. It would appear that he thinks that this law of liberty, turning away from filthiness and rampant wickedness, that through that a person can be saved and become righteous, become the righteousness of God. With all the context, with it being only 10 years into the church, where so many Jewish people have not yet received the revelation of a righteousness that comes from God that is his own doing and not by what people do. If that's the mindset that James had, then you can see, I think it's pretty easy to see that he thinks that the law, the perfect law, the law of liberty, one who looks into the law of liberty and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, that's what he's talking about by being a doer of the word, he will be blessed in his doing. I mean, obviously, there are many, many different ways that people have looked at this. And again, what we're doing is we gave some background on the word. We looked at other things that James has said. We're going to look at some more things that James continues to say in this epistle. And hopefully this will make a good case of what James is really meaning when he says being a doer of the word, and how it's a little bit different, or quite different than what Paul says in his epistles about doing and about being saved and being the righteousness of God.
The only caveat I would add to that is, with everything you just said, I think James probably believed what you were just alluding to, along with believing in Jesus. So
right.
It's a combination,
yes,
of law and faith, right? I mean, to me, this is a perfect example of a mixed covenant writing. And we have other scriptures to show us where James was coming from. You know, sometimes people think that the scriptures are inspired. Well, by inspired, I think they misdefine that a little bit by suggesting that God was whispering, offering dictation to the writers so that every word that was coming from the mouth of God was being written down on paper. There is an inspiration taking place here with these books, these writings. And certainly we have some of those to refer back to. You mentioned Galatians 2 as one instance on where James was coming from as far as the Jewish gospel versus the gospel for all people. So I just thought I would throw that in there, that it wasn't just law, but it was law and faith in Jesus. He's writing to Jewish believers here. But I think as we move forward here, let's throw out the verses, let's throw out the chapters, and let's continue to look at the context, because James isn't dividing up his thoughts here. He's going to continue talking about this, and I think it will shed even more light on where we go from here.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brizeke, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.